The word this morning is taken from Mark chapter 7, verse 24, to Mark chapter 8, verse 10, and this can be found on page 842 on the Bible in the Bibles in the pews. So Mark chapter 7, reading from verse 24. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile and a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went to Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and, after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealous they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do we have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there they were, about 4,000 people. And he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lauren, for reading God's word for us, and Eric for leading us this far. 2 things happened last week. The white smoke came. That meant that Chiefs was going to beat Pirates. A very good morning to all of you, dear friends, and a very happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We really appreciate you and we thank God for you. It is wonderful, though, to get together around God's word this morning in our worship service. This morning we are continuing with our Jesus on the Move series in Mark's Gospel. And our passage is the one that Lorna just read for us, Mark 7, verse 24 to 8, verse 10. And the title of the sermon is Jesus Came for the Children and the Dogs. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we thank you that indeed when we open the Bible, we hear you speaking to us through the pages of the book. And we do pray that you'll open our eyes and that you'll help us see the Lord Jesus working through the pages of the Bible as the great King that he is, who brings us the grace that brings Gentiles into the fold of your sheep. And I do pray that this morning, Father God, you'll open our eyes to that and that you'll help us to understand and that you'll give us grace to believe. For we ask it in the great name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Mark 7, verse 123 has raised the issue of whether hands or food can be clean or unclean. But underneath that question, there is fundamental questions, which is whether they are clean or unclean people. The question of what makes people unclean and what makes people clean before God is in view here in this chapter. Who is an insider in the kingdom of God and who is outside of the kingdom of God? What makes people to be insiders or outsiders? Of course, if you are a Jew, you will say, yes, they are clean people, that is us as Jews, and they are unclean people, that is you as Gentiles, because that's what they believe. There are people who are insiders, and there are people who are outsiders, which is outside of the kingdom of God. And it all depends on your nationality. If you are a Jew, lucky you, you are a clean insider who is in right standing before God. And if you are a Gentile, tough, you are an outsider who is unrighteous before God, and you are unclean because you're not a Jew, and you are not circumcised. The Jews will claim that they are clean, and the Gentiles are unclean. But the Bible says all people, whether you are a Jew or Gentiles, you are unclean. They are unclean before this God, and they can only be declared clean by God, which happens through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And again this morning we are confronted with that very same question of clean and unclean, insider and outsider, here in Mark 7, 24 to 8, 10. There are two main points that I'd like to bring to our attention this morning from our passage. The first main point is that healing, as Jesus terms it in the discussion with this Gentile woman, healing is the bread of the children, not of the Gentiles. And again, when you look at the first verses from verse 24, the references to Tyre in verse 24, Syrophenicia In verse 26, you can bite your tongue with these words. Sidon and Decapolis in verse 31 are important because they help us to understand that Jesus is ministering in the Gentile territory that was despised by the Jews. These two stories of Mark 7, 24 to 30 and verse 31 to 37 are mirror images of each other. Both focuses on people suffering infirmities that isolated them from society. Mark 7, verse 26 and verse 32 says, "Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth," which emphasized that she was really a Gentile, "and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter." Verse 32, "And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him." Something from within the daughter of this woman and the deaf man incapacitated them. A demon in verse 30, ear stoppage in verse 33, or speech blockage in verse 35. Their friends or their proxies interceded on their behalf. The woman kneeling before Jesus in verse 25, or begging him in verse 32 to do something. Of course, Jesus is in the area where he has been before, as we will see later. And I'm sure what he did with the drama that took place with the demons, the legion demons getting into thousands of pigs, made the headline in this region because they identified Jesus as soon as he set his foot to it. And they identify him as someone who can help them. And they do that by bringing people who needed healing. Two things I want us to notice here in verse 24 to verse 37. Number one is that the dogs receive the bread of children, which if you were a Jew in that crowd, you will be infuriated by that. Verse 25, 26 says, "But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." Verse 26, "Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter." And you know that comes from what Jesus did before. People knew that he's got power to cast the demon out of people. So Mark underlined the point in verse 26 that this woman was really a Gentile. She came to beg Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. That's it. She didn't come for a message of encouragement. She just came for one thing and one thing alone, for Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus' response can be summarized with these words: "Healing is the bread of the children. You don't deserve it because you are a dog. But by grace, even dogs can be included." Verse 27 says, "And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" Jesus' response seems offensive at the first glance. It looks like a racial insult. The Jewish people are the children, Gentiles are the dogs. But this is not an insult. It is a parable. Jesus tells the parable to this woman who happens to be a Gentile. He is imagining a family meal. You dog lovers, you'll know what happens when you eat your supper. The dogs crawl around your table, not because they love you at that point. They want you to feed them. Okay, but you like to fool yourself that because my dogs love me. When you eat, the dogs doesn't care about you. They want the food. Okay. And he uses a form of the word in this parable for dogs, which means puppies. I'm a black person, the dog stays out. Okay. So you'll forgive me. The dogs have no room inside. Okay. I thought I must say that so that you understand where I stand with dogs. You know, our relationship, that's how it is. So puppies are beloved pets. And yes, they will be fed, say Jesus, but they are not fed first. There is an order in Jesus' mission, as we can see in the feeding of the multitudes in Mark 6, verse 34 to 44. The feeding takes place in the Jewish territory. That's the territory of the children. Children are fed first. He is showing Israel that he is the fulfillment of all that God promised to them. He feeds them, as our brother correctly helped us to understand what statement Jesus was making when he fed them in that wilderness. He was making a statement that he is the great Jehovah, the one who fed their forefathers in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. Now in Mark 8, verse 1 to 10, the next feeding takes place in the Gentiles' territory. That is the territory of the dogs. And I don't know if this woman understood that, but since she understood the parable, and I'm sure she's been following the news about Jesus, the news of Jesus feeding 5,000, it was spread all over. And when she heard the parable, she connected the dot. She realized that now is the puppy's time to eat, as we're going to see later in chapter 8. Mark 7:28 says, "But she answered Jesus," when Jesus said, "It's not good for me to throw the children's bread to the dogs." Verse 28, "But she answered Jesus, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" That's good. She says, "Yes, Lord." You need to ask yourself, what does that mean? The first time a Gentile woman or a Gentile calls Jesus Lord, she's saying, "Yes, Lord." She hears the parable. She hears the parable. The first time the parable is told, she understands it. And if you've been following Mark, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, the disciples up to this point, they don't get it. They don't have a clue what is going on. A Gentile woman gets it. An outsider gets it. And it's quite something to see that. She's not hardened or blind or deaf. She is clean. She is the insider. She gets inside. the parable story, and she reasons with the Lord. The disciples haven't done that. She is the first example of someone who actually understands a parable and responds to the parable rightly. No one has really understood Jesus' mission up to this point. She understands it after hearing one sentence in the form of parable, and she not only understands it, she does not argue against Jesus. In verse 29 to 30, she says, "I recognize that I do not have a place in the table until later because I am not from Israel. I accept that, Lord. But I see something else here. If I am a puppy in your story, Lord, I know that puppies also eat from the table when crumbs fall." She kept on saying that to Jesus. And she received the answer to her request. The demon lived her daughter. She get what she asked for because of her response, says verse 29. You see that? This simply means that anyone, Jew or Gentile, can experience the blessing of God through faith in Jesus. Anyone. He is the channel from heaven through which the blessings of God comes to earth. This woman understood her condition, her need, and the sufficiency of Jesus to meet her need. Her faith, which brought her to her knees, begging Jesus for help, secured for her what she was looking for. "Yes, Lord, I get it," says this woman. So in verse 24 to 30, we see that Jesus accepts any gentle dog who understands the depth of their need and trust in his grace. That's what Mark intends us to understand in this first story. Number two, the deaf hear and the dumb speak. Verse 31, 32, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him." So Jesus returns to the Decapolis, verse 31, where he had previously encountered and healed the man with a legend of demons in Mark 5, verse 1 to 20. And people know who Jesus is. They know that he has the power over evil forces. They know that he is the only one who can help them. So this is clearly a Gentile territory that Jesus is treading on here. The fact that Jesus goes from Tyre and Sidon to the Decapolis makes it clear that he is going out of his way to include Gentiles in his ministry. He is the Savior of the world, not just of the Jews. The Jews missed that. In verse 32 to 34, a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, in verse 32, is brought to Jesus for healing. And Jesus takes him aside in private. Some commentators want us to believe that, you know, he spoke sign language. He spit on his finger, he touched his tongue, and he looked up and he put his finger on his ears. And they're saying, no, Jesus was saying something to this man. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say that. But what the Bible says is that Jesus healed him, and he healed him privately. Unlike our so-called healers today, who won't heal anybody unless cameras are there, and that healing is not real, it's just fake. He took the man privately, and he healed him respectfully. Verse 35 says, immediately the man's ears were opened and he could speak clearly. There was no problem. He just healed the man by commanding the ears to open. Ephata, which means open. And the man's ears were open. Well, the important thing here is that the word used to describe the man's speech difficulties in verse 32 here in Mark is significant, because it is only used one other time in the Bible, and that is in Isaiah 35 verse 5 to 6. Listen to what Isaiah says in verse 5 to 6. That's Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. That is the Messianic age. And the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For water break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. This section of Isaiah is about the arrival of the day of the Lord. It talks about the wasteland of Lebanon in verse 2, in the same chapter of 35 of Isaiah, where Jesus is, where Jesus performs this miracle, is in the desert of Lebanon that the prophet Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 35 verse 2. Now we need to remember that Jesus has just come from Lebanon or Tyre, and now he heals a deaf and mute man, which Isaiah prophesied about it. This is the king that ushers the day of the Lord, the Messianic age. So Mark is telling us that the power and glory and joy of the Lord is coming to the Gentiles through our Lord Jesus. He is the one who inaugurates the day of the Lord. He is the Redeemer from Israel, who will bring God's salvation and joy to all people, says Isaiah 35 verse 10. In Mark 7:37, the crowd cannot contain their joy and amazement and astonishment. It's bubbling up. No one can stop it. If Pharisees were there, they were furious. They were red-faced when they heard the crowd saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In verse 24 to 30, dear friend, we see the Messiah who accepts any gentle dog who understand the depth of their need and trust in his grace. Anyone, it doesn't matter how far down you have gone, if you cry out to Jesus and trust in his grace, you're going to be rescued by this King. And verse 37, 31 to 37 shows us that Jesus also accepts deaf Gentiles who hears his voice. No one is an outsider who trusts in him. If you trust in Jesus, you are cleansed. You trust in Jesus, you become the insider. You become part of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish. The second and final main point that I'd like us to look at is that the children's bread is for the dogs. Remember the story of Jesus with this woman, you know, in their discussion, Jesus uses the bread parables, and Jesus ended up giving this woman the bread other than crumbs, because healing in the parable is the bread of the children. And Jesus, by healing her daughter, gives this woman what we would have thought it was impossible for her to get, the bread of the children. The Lord gives it to the dogs. And if the children are there, they don't get it, they are very, very upset with Jesus. How dare you? How dare you? We are the elite. We don't sit with these dogs. Live alone, sharing the same meal with them. No wonder they crucified him. So as we come to the end of the first half of Mark's gospel, Mark ties together in a masterful way this section. We have seen the series of mighty miracles of Jesus, including the feeding of 5,000. These miracles included the greatest miracle that is similar to what we're looking at here in chapter 8. Again, there are two things that I want us to take note of it here in this story of the feeding of 4,000. The first one is that these miracles are the messianic blessings. That's what they are. They authenticate Jesus. They're saying Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one who brings salvation to all people. Yes, first to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. That's what Jesus is demonstrating here. This story stresses the same point that the first bread miracle highlighted. Jesus is the great I am. He is Jehovah God. He is the shepherd of his people. In Mark 6, if you look at the similarity of these stories, the feeding story, miracles, Mark 6, verse 34 is similar to Mark 8, verse 2, Jesus is moved by compassion. He does this thing because he suffers with the people that he sees. Number 2 in Mark 6, verse 35 to 36, is similar to Mark 8, verse 3. The disciples respond in a similar way. In the first bread miracle, the disciple came to Jesus and asked him, send the crowd away. They have worked out that the food that we have is gonna be barely enough for all of us. So we don't need all these people. Jesus, send them away. Close the service. Okay. Talking about long services, I don't know if we would have survived in this evangelistic of Jesus. Oh God, okay, let me stop. It's quite interesting. I don't know. What would they have done? You know, people like us were more sophisticated. You know, we got more important things to do. You know, we're busy. You know, so don't get over 1 hour kind of attitude would have not worked in this context. This time Jesus described the problem himself. He goes to them, he's saying, these people are hungry, and if I were to send them away, because I know that what you're going to suggest, they're going to faint on the way. Okay? He then turned to them, if we got anything. When Jesus says that, they're not saying, Jesus, here what we have. We got this few bread and few fishes. You know, you just did something there. You know, this is what we got. We know that when we bring to you what we have, you got this power to create more. But they still don't get it. They still don't get it. Look at verse 4. How can one feed these people with bread here in the desolated place? This is the question from the disciples. You would have thought that they know what Jesus can do with few bread, but they still don't get it. I don't know if they were just thinking about themselves, or they were really dull in their mind. But number 3, Mark 6, verse 41 and chapter 8, verse 6 to 7, the feeding follows the same pattern. Jesus sits the people down. He acts as the host of these people. They've come to me. I'm going to take care of them. What a savior. Then he takes the bread and fish. He gives thanks and he breaks it like he did at the first, with the first miracle, and gives it to the disciple to set before the people. And he fed them. Mark 6 verse 42 and Mark 8:8, both stories features the same result. All the people ate and were satisfied. Isn't that beautiful? In the desert with the Lord, anything is possible. They were all satisfied. Mark 6, 43 to 44, similar to Mark 8, verse 8 to 9, the disciple picked up the leftovers. They got more than what they had. It's quite amazing. The first miracle, they gathered more food. Second miracle, more than what they gave it to Jesus. He is a wonderful Lord. You remember the story of this gentle woman begging Jesus to heal its daughter, and Jesus gave the parable of the bread. He called the request of healing as the bread of the children. And the woman get inside the parable. He reasons with Jesus. He says to Jesus, even puppies, they eat the crumbs from the table of the children. Lord, give me that. And Jesus gave that woman the bread. Her daughter was healed. And he demonstrated that the bread of the children is the bread of the dogs too, by feeding 4,000 Gentiles the same way he fed the Jews. You have to get that. There is no Jew or Gentile in Christ. None. If anything, the cross of Jesus Christ lumps Jews and Gentiles together and make them sinners before God who need to be saved through faith in Jesus. Read Ephesians 2. With the cross, Jesus demolished the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, reconciled both. Second, he demolished the wall that was between Jews and Gentiles and God, and he reconciled both of us to God through the cross. That's what Jesus does. You cannot boast in your nationality. It counts nothing. Even if you are a Jew, it means nothing. What matters is faith in Jesus. Amen. The feeding of the 4,000 Gentiles here in Mark 8 is done the same way with the feeding of the 5,000 Jews in Mark 6. We need to get that. Mark wants us to understand that. He came for the children and the dogs. He is the Lord of both. He made both. Remember what Jesus said in John 10 verse 16. Jesus said, and I have other, not dogs. He says, I have other what? Sheep that are not of this fold. Talking about us Gentiles. He doesn't look at us as dogs. He looked at us as lost sheep. It's the Jews that called us dogs. Okay, not God. We are the lost sheep. He came to make the lost sheep part of the fold. Amen. Are you getting that? I should have had a louder amen from that. Amen to that. So when the Jews looked at the Gentiles, they saw dogs. But when Jesus, our Creator, looks at the Gentiles, he sees the lost sheep. I love that. He brings the dignity back. We're not dogs. We're just lost sheep. Beautiful. Can only come from the Lord who loves you, who came for you, who died for you. And he's coming back if you trust in him to take you home with him forever. No dogs, only sheep that were lost, and they became found sheep through faith in him. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen to that. He sees lost sheep that need to be brought under his shepherd wood. And Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 2 says this about Messianic age. Come everyone who thirst, come to the water. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. When Jesus' coming was promised to Mary, Mary praised God as one who had filled the hungry with good things in Luke 1:53. Isaiah said, come to me and feel and delight with good things. Like all the miracles, this miracle points us to the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second and final thing to notice briefly is the signs of the kingdom. This miracle is done in an area of the Gentiles that distinguishes it from the first miracle, not only geographically, but also ethically and religiously. This crowd was probably, as we all understand, little bit maybe mix of Jews and Gentiles, but predominantly Gentiles crowd. And I don't think they were committed to Jesus much, but they were awakened by the presence and the teaching of Jesus and hungry to listen to him. In this case, the feeding of the multitude foreshadowed the gathering together of those from every nation under heaven to the heavenly feeding. We're heading for that. Revelation 7, verse 9 to 10 says, after this, says John, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belong to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. That gathering that foreshadowed the heavenly gathering started by Jesus is continuing even this morning as we gather here. Any person can be cleansed. Any person can be an insider. You just have to trust, repent and trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus and ask him to save you. He will save you because he came for all. He came for the dogs and the deaf, for the clean and the unclean, for the Jews and Gentiles. He came for the whole world, and he came for you specifically, individually. Have you responded to him? That's the question. If you are an outsider, it's because you haven't asked him to make you an insider. If you are not clean, it's because you haven't asked him to cleanse you. He came and he died just for that. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you that indeed when we open the Bible, especially in the setup like this, as we gather as your people, just like those multitude who gathered around you, they couldn't be bothered by hunger, and you were moved by compassion. We gather in like this morning, Lord, because we're hungry for you. please fill us. Fill each of us. Let not one leave this room hungry. We thank you for the privilege of feasting on your word. We bless your name, Lord. And please meet with each of us at the point of our need, because you are more than able to meet our needs. We thank you for that. Amen.